Hello and welcome to Nutrition 411, the podcast, a special podcast series led by registered dietitian and nutritionist Lisa Jones. The views of the speakers are their own and do not reflect the views of their respective institutions or consultant 360.
Hello and welcome to Nutrition 411, the podcast where we communicate the information that you need to know now about the science, psychology, and strategies behind the practice of dietetics. Today's podcast is part of a series of short episodes featuring Q&A with Julie Feldman. Julie Feldman is a registered dietitian nutritionist, nationally recognized nutrition expert, consultant, counselor, speaker, spokesperson, author, and owner and founder of Thrive Nutrition and Wellness, LLC, specializing in trauma-informed nutrition counseling for teens and adults. Julie is from West Bloomfield, Michigan. Hi, Julie, and welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
All right. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about exploring key topics in dietetics. So during our recent episode, we were talking about emerging technological advances. And I'm curious, if you had to sum up that conversation in one to two sentences, what do you think are the key takeaways?
I would say the key takeaways are use technology to help you to create an initial connection, but then remember that we're people.
Yes. And keep it real.
Yeah, keep it real. Definitely.
I love that. Great takeaway. All right. Our next topic, talking about dietetics now. So the key topics in nutrition-informed counseling. So what would you say would have significant implications for trauma-informed nutrition counseling? What topics specifically? I know you mentioned some earlier, like eating disorders, obviously. Any other ones come to mind that you want to speak to?
Yeah, you know what? I think actually in the world of eating disorders, it's long been talked about. Like when you think about treating eating disorders, like the psychology behind that has always been like, duh, like obviously there's an emotional thing going on here, you know, like we can't just tell them to eat more or, you know, to not purge or to, you know, whatever disorder we're talking about. We can't just say, don't do that.
Yes.
And the person's going to be like, oh, that's such a great idea. Thanks for telling me. So I think that the topic and the understanding of the psychological involvement as it relates to food and food choices has long been discussed in the eating disorder world. And that's really where I even became aware of some of the skills and tools that I use every single day with all of my clients, whether they're diagnosed with an eating disorder or not. What I think is new and I hope continues to grow, I'm trying to, you know, do my part by talking about this at conferences and so on, is this is not just an eating disorder thing. This is a people thing. This is a food thing. And we like never talked about this as it related, I guess, specifically to weight loss. It was just like never talked about. But what I realized, and I realized it a long time ago, and I'm super grateful that I have some really cool people in my life in and around, like, you know, that are in my sphere, including my mom, who's a social worker, and a sister who's a social worker, and a stepfather who's a social worker. And so like, this is sort of Sunday family dinner conversation at our house. So I'm super lucky in that. But what I realized really early on is like, why are we talking about this with eating disorders? And we're never talking about this with all of this other stuff. And then the other thing I realized was that all of my clients that were coming to me and to say like, I need to lose 30 pounds before my son's wedding kind of a thing, would start to tell me about their stories. And their stories were like really deep. And I really learned that trauma is relative. We think of trauma as something really bad happened. Like I was a victim of sexual assault. I was the victim of, you know, verbal abuse. I grew up in a home. My dad was an alcoholic, things like that, right? Just sort of obviously traumatic things. But what we don't do a good job of talking about is sometimes people refer to it as little T's or smaller traumas. I don't really think of them as small because our life is our life and we only know our life. So if something felt really big to me, it doesn't have to feel big to somebody else for it to have been big to me. And things that register like that are For example, you know, having a sibling who was just an all-star, you know, I'm not saying this is my story, but like somebody's story could be, you know, I had a sister who was captain of the cheerleading team and, you know, got all A's and went to Harvard. And, you know, I was smart, but like everybody talked about me as being that person's sister. Now, nothing dramatically terrible happened to this person where everyone's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that that was your life, right? Yet that person very likely never felt safe, never felt seen, never felt valid. And I think, you know, I just learned and kept seeing it over and over and over and over and over again, these stories. And I was like, okay, what is going on here? And, you know, that's where I started to do more learning myself around trauma and how it changes us and how it changes our decision making and how it changes our ability to stay present and, you know, all of these pieces. And I think I hope that that is sort of like what is emerging, that this is not simple and straightforward. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with some of these weight loss medications too. And I'm not anti weight loss medication, by the way, but just, I think that they're being prescribed to a lot of people who have undiagnosed eating disorders, number one. So that's really kind of scary. Two, I also think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens if somebody can't be on these meds forever. What happens, you know, we've created this weight loss, but haven't really addressed their relationship with food, or perhaps some of the other things that were going on in their life that they used food to kind of mask or soothe themselves from. And so, you know, are they going to just sort of hop from one thing to the next to the next? So maybe it was food, but then it switches to something else. So I'm really hoping that with, you know, more communication and more talking about this, that we get more clinicians to understand the role that all of this plays so that people can be successful. You know, I think it's so miserable when you think about it. And if you look around you, you see all these people, they maybe, you know, change a lifestyle for 3 months or 6 months, but it's probably, if you really have to think about it, it's hard to think of people who have made changes and made them consistently and sort of in a permanent way. And I think one of the main reasons, if not the reason why that is the case, is because we're just not addressing these underlying emotional pieces for people.
What you said that was so powerful is that trauma is relative and it really can't be categorized. And I think that's what, like, when you think of trauma, people do think of what you were saying, like those, the things that you listed off in the beginning when you were answering of this conversation, and they don't really think about the small thing. And that's a great point that you bring up. Like, you could be, your trauma could be big to you, and then somebody tries to minimize it. And that the person that you used an example of felt minimized, and that created this lifelong trauma for them. And people are like, oh, that's not a big deal. So your sister was, she excelled and you weren't, you didn't go to Harvard, or that makes a big difference. So thank you so much for bringing that up, because we often don't look at it and through that lens. So I think it's how you're looking at it, and all trauma is trauma, basically, right?
That's how I see it. I mean, that's how, it's not like we have to pay to get that designation, right? and I don't think that we're giving somebody like an I don't think of trauma as an excuse at all. I actually think for so many people, it is the most validating conversation they have ever had in their life, to understand that what has happened to them has made it really, really hard for them to be able to make changes. And for decades, perhaps they've just been thinking that they suck, you know, that they have no willpower, that they're unworthy and incapable. And for somebody to be able to say, that makes total sense that this is hard for you. Like, have you ever made that connection before? And they're like, oh my God, no.
Yes.
It is so incredibly validating. I, you know, it's really, as a clinician, it's incredibly rewarding. I also think, you know, I mean, I'm in private practice, so there's a, I'm not doing that. I don't want this to come across in a bad way. I'm not saying like I'm doing this to make money, but obviously I support myself doing this. In terms of like client retention and from a business perspective as a dietitian, it makes a lot of sense to be able to talk about more than just what did you eat for lunch?
Yes.
And if somebody really feels safe with you to talk about deeper things, and I'm not saying I'm a therapist and I'm not saying I collaborate with therapists all the time, but you cannot pull apart the teeny tiny threads that connect food and our emotional well-being. You can't, in my mind, you cannot have a conversation about food without talking about our psychological being. And so if you're able to do that, I think you create really beautiful, long-lasting relationships with your clients that are validating not just for them, but also for you.
Yes. Yeah, it's another excellent point that you bring up too, which leads me to my next question about, as a nutrition counselor, how do you stay informed and how do you evaluate this, any emerging research that comes out to support a trauma-informed practice? Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of my continuing education in the field of mental health. So stepping a little bit outside of just learning about things that are particularly advertised to nutrition professionals. So I encourage people to tap into some mental health resources. There's, you know, a ton of stuff online. But the more, and it might not even all count, if you will, towards your continuing education credits. But it's so empowering, I think, as a clinician to learn about that kind of stuff. And I think it helps. It's frustrating. I mean, this can feel like a frustrating practice sometimes. And I think it helps to alleviate a lot of burnout and frustration on the clinician side to learn about this stuff. So I would subscribe, you know, get yourself on some newsletters from various organizations. Collectively Rooted is one that they deliver some really fascinating presentations. Also a lot of like the eating disorder organizations in the community, like the residential programs, they'll offer a lot of continuing ed too, that is more sort of on the emotional side of things. So even if you don't do eating disorder work, take advantage of some of those. Most of them are free and can be really, really helpful, interesting information. Anything that, in my mind, anything that's sort of geared towards treating an eating disorder is going to help you in delivering nutrition content in any capacity.
Yeah, that is, thank you for sharing all those resources, because I was thinking as you were talking, like mental health and burnout, they could be two separate topics. They're so big and stand alone.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. And just the resources. That's a great recommendation. Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, of course. Also, I do like Medscape, the Medscape Daily. Like you can subscribe on Medscape. And if you type in certain topics that you want to get new and emerging research on, sometimes it can feel like a little overwhelming because on certain days you might get like a lot, but I get a ton of information from that. So it's free too.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put that in the show notes. All right. Well, thank you for sharing all your wisdom in our episode talking about topics in dietetics.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For more nutrition content, visit consultant360.com.